The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Coltrane Carlson with Raccoon Valley Radio and Jake Bourgeois with the Dryersville Commercial. Coltrane, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Okay, well, thank you, Senator. With the decision made by the EPA not too long ago to allow the year-round selling of E15, even though that's been delayed till 2025, can you explain why this is a win for not only the state of Iowa, but for Iowans in general?
I suppose there's a legal answer to your question of why it's delayed for 1 year. I don't know that answer, but we've been fortunate in the last 2 years when it wasn't going to be legal at all, even after 2025. We've had the president get the heat and say that we could market it during 22, 23, and I think we're going to be able to do the same thing through 2024. And then after that, it'll be a little more regular based upon what the EPA's starting to do in 2025. At least this, we're going to be joining a lot of other Republican and Democrat people from the Midwest, corn-growing states, and get the president to do it. Now, the president doesn't have to do it because we're pressuring him to do it, but he's done it twice in the last 2 years, most recent 2 years. Okay, Jake?
Wanted to ask with the new congressional, they had the one-year extension of the farm bill sort of at the end of the year last year. I just wanted to get your temperature for 2024 as far as where you see things starting and what you see the outlook for getting a more long-term farm bill extension passed.
That's a very appropriate question, and a question I got at a lot of the nine counties I was in last week in kind of north central Iowa. And it came up because I was in rural communities. So I was hoping, if you and I had talked before Christmas, that I was saying we could get this done by July. It would be done, a new five-year farm program. And if it wasn't done by July, it wouldn't be done until 2025 for the simple reason that not much is done after we have the Democrat and Republican presidential conventions. But now we're into almost March, and I want to be very pessimistic about getting a new five-year farm bill because I don't see any movement at this point. And if we don't get some movement in committee during the month of March, I don't see how it's going to get out. And then another pessimistic thing is, even if we produced a farm bill, the chances of it getting floor time is even less because Senator Schumer sets the agenda for the United States Senate as leader of the majority Democrat caucus, and he has us scheduled only to meet 125 days this year, and we ought to be meeting probably 200 days a year. And so I just think the restricted calendar for the United States Senate is going to make it difficult. I'll end by saying that if we don't get a new five-year farm program, we'll have another one-year extension. So the five-year farm bill of 2018, this year is a six-year farm bill. And if we don't get a five-year done this year, next year will be a seven-year farm bill instead of a five-year farm bill. Back to Coltrane.
Senator, it appears that there was supposed to be a meeting, I think today, at the White House with President Joe Biden and some of the congressional leadership to discuss the latest foreign aid package that was passed by the Senate. I would just like to know from you, sir, how did you and why did you vote on that bill or on that bill that was passed by the Senate? And is it still the sticking point with this and why we can't get something passed through Congress because of that caveat of the enhanced border control that some legislators want to see down at the southern border of Mexico tied in with this bill?
On the last point, that was an issue in the United States Senate as we waited for the bipartisan bill that took 3 months to develop was made public. And once it was made public, with so many waivers for the president of the United States to maybe use it or not use it, and maybe allowing up to 5,000 people to enter a country illegally against our law, there was a feeling in the United States Senate, why go along with something when you got a president that isn't already enforcing the law to enforce that law? In the House, they're making another crack at doing something on border security, and along with the Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan bill. But I'm just not in a position to know what the thinking is in the House. Maybe the meeting that you talk about at the White House today will give us some idea. Or maybe when I get done with our 5 o'clock leadership meeting today, I'd have more information I can tell you. But being out of session for 2 weeks, I haven't talked to enough people to give you more information. Jake?
I know updating the Packers and Stockyard Act has been something you've been working on for the past couple of years. Where is that discussion at with that?
Okay. Well, there's something that we're involved in right now. I'm not working on well, I did. I better back up, because I was going to say I wasn't working on any legislation. But I had a bill with Senator Tester to put in an ombudsman in Packers and Stockyards Act to oversee and make public what they were doing or not doing. That bill didn't get passed, but I'm still supporting that. But you may be, I think the Packers and Stockyards Act is already, after 125 years, still a very effective piece of legislation to make sure that we get good competition, to get the best prices for farmers for what they sell and the best price for input. But there is an attempt in the House Appropriations Committee to weaken a little bit, as it is in regard to the four big meat producers that dominate the market, so that there isn't a very good market for Iowa cattle producers, because they do most of their business with the big feedlots of Kansas, Colorado, and Texas. So Tester and I are writing a letter to all of our colleagues not to weaken the Packers and Stockyards Act. Coltrane, for a third question.
Thank you, Senator. I know you recently came out in opposition to the latest college debt proposal by President Joe Biden, and you had said that there are some other solutions, such as, you know, improving the financial aid system, as well as increasing transparency, allowing students to also have that easy comparable options. I'd like to know from you, sir, can you further elaborate on what you mean by the improving the financial aid system, as well as increasing the transparency that you mentioned in your incentive media?
Well, there's a couple things. One would be a bill that I say no before you all, that would give people some opening for what they're majoring in. Will it pay for their loans? And that you wouldn't borrow more than what you need to actually get a degree. Because now the federal government has a policy. They can tell you the maximum amount you can be loaned. And maybe it's more than you really need to get a degree, but it kind of encourages people to go deeper in debt than they need to. Another one would be to have uniform statement that all universities would have to use to tell you what your education is going to cost you, because now you can't compare University A with University B, because they use different methods of telling you, and sometimes it's not even honest information. So I would have one standard form to fill out. And then we have a problem with the fact that there's a new form that parents fill out for their kids that we call it FAFSA. That's an acronym, FAFSA, but it's not treating small business and farmers fairly, because it's taken into consideration the net work of your business or farm, the amount you got invested, and there's no relationship to farmers, for instance, having high investment. Maybe this year was $4 corn. They aren't going to have any income, and consequently, you might not be able to finance your kids. But if they take this into consideration, particularly if you have more than one kid in college, you may have to sell the farm or borrow against it and all that, and that's not fair. So we need long-term solution to make college more affordable, and federal students' aid rollout is a mess this year based upon what I just told you about FAFSA, and we need to get that straightened out. Jake, you got your third question, will be the last question.
You've got an Ag Oversight Committee meeting coming up this week. Just curious what you're looking to focus on as part of this hearing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether the chairman has announced a specific point, but what I want to usually look at is fraudulent use of taxpayers' money. And I usually ask questions along that line, but I'm not acquainted with what the chairman has set the specific subject of the meeting. And I hope to be able to bring some of that up and things of that nature. And by the way, this is an opportunity to really have wide-ranging questions beyond the fraudulent use of taxpayers' money, because we're having Secretary Vilsack before the committee, and he's coming for what we say general oversight, not on a specific part of his administration, but just to give us a chance to ask any questions we want to ask of him. So thank you, Coltrane and Jake. Thank you for participating. Goodbye.
Thank you, Coltrane and Jake, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.